About a third of all food in the US is wasted, if not more, which apparently equates to somewhere like 25 million tons of food every year just goes to landfill, which is about $1,500 per the average household is just wasted on food.
Think about what went into that food. You had the farmers who grew it, and they watered it, and then they transported it, and then somebody packaged it, and then transported it, and all those dollars, and it's at its highest and best use once it gets to the store, and then a third of it gets thrown away. I didn't realize how much food was going to waste. I don't think people do know. And for me, it became this opportunity to let people know all those facts that you just said and try to find a solution that's going to fix that problem and help us waste less and keep more products being sold or repurposed in a way that people in need can eat them, because there's so many people that are hungry and they don't need to be because there's food there for them. We work with our partners to do three things. We either try to prevent food from going to waste. We provide through donations that we work with our partners like Feeding America, or if all fails and the food is going to go unsold and can't go to a person to eat, we convert it into renewable energy and keep it out of landfill. I believe wholeheartedly that everybody can make a difference in the world, and the small things you do can make big things. And if everyone tries to make a change, even if it's a small change, we'll get there. That's my unshakable belief. Small things can make a difference, and we all should try.
Welcome, Hillary.
Yay!
Excited to be here.
Oh, excited to have you. Thank you.
Especially on a Friday lunchtime.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm usually down the boozer, to be honest.
Like a good strategist.
Like a good strategist should be. Exactly.
Finding those insights.
Exactly. And thanks for joining us, the indomitable, unfathomable.
Unfathomable. Notorious.
Immutable Paloma.
Oh me.
I'm sure you'll probably talk a little bit about Divert and the role you have at Divert in a few minutes. But yeah, we just love to get under the skin, pun maybe semi-intended, of food waste.
So I was born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. I like to consider myself a nice Midwestern girl with East Coast sass. I lived in New York and then moved back to Boston after business school.
I always find it funny when people say they're from Boston, because in the UK, I'm from actually near Boston, and Boston's like a little town in the middle of the fens with a little stump in the middle that no one goes to at all. It's like the most rednecky, hicky, backwatery place you've ever probably stumbled.
That's not our Boston.
Well, I know.
Our Boston is the best place in the world, so you have to, everyone needs to come to Boston.
Oh, strong claim. Strong claim.
I have to say, I've loved when we worked on Gillette together. There was so much history. Like, that was what I remembered being amazing. And people were really helpful, but very not like Midwestern, kind of stumble on ourselves trying to be helpful. Like, you have to ask for help in Boston, but people will go out of their way to help, but you have to ask for it. So there's just a level of detachment and like class and kind of the way they carry themselves with confidence. But the history part is just mind blowing. We just don't have that as much in the Midwest.
Definitely not. But what we do have in the Midwest, like you just said, is that we definitely speak to people. So I'm the person in Boston that I'm in the elevator and I say good morning. Or I walk by people today. In fact, on my walk, I'm like, good morning. How are you? Or maybe not the how are you, but good morning.
Yeah.
People don't answer.
No, they're like, what's wrong with you? What do you want?
I know. Yes. I think I do it now just to freak people out in elevators by saying something. I'm like, have a nice day.
Yep. I'm with you right there.
Tell us a little bit about your professional journey, if you wouldn't mind. But the challenge is you have to do it in three pivotal moments.
I would say that my first pivotal moment was when I graduated from college and I had multiple job offers in a lot of different things. So I had a job offer from Citibank in international trade finance. I had an offer from Travelers Insurance in Hartford for marketing. I had an offer from AT&T sales and development program in New Jersey. And the one that will really surprise you is that I got a job offer from Bloomingdale's to be in their buyer program.
Oh.
Something like
I would have loved that one.
My grandmother would have loved if I had done that. And it was, I mean, it was definitely a pivotal moment because I opted for Citibank. And it was the foundation for everything that I do today, the modeling that I use, the way I think about financials and P&Ls in my jobs started because I worked at Citibank. I would have been a completely different person if I had taken the job at Bloomingdale's. I would have a whole different life. So
at least a different wardrobe.
Yeah. For sure. Yes. I would say the second one is my job at Gillette and eventually P&G. I had this amazing manager who called me back to Gillette to manage male blades and razors for North America. And I came back and it was like coming back to my family. The people at Gillette were the most amazing humans. And after a short time of being there, actually 2 weeks after I got back, we were acquired by Procter & Gamble. But as part of that role, I was able to manage the launch of a new razor called Gillette Fusion. And it was pivotal for me because this was a product that was the number one CPG product launch of that year. We were the fastest to $1 billion in sales at that P&G had ever seen. We did it in a year and a half.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity to explore everything you can think of in marketing because I had a large marketing budget and the most amazing team. So it was a wonderful experience. Plus, I got to meet a really wonderful woman named Heidi.
Oh. Little moment number two. No, I'm kidding. That Fusion launch was just incredible because of all of those things. And you had a great leader at the helm with Hillary who knows how to like get stuff done.
Yeah.
I will always remember that as one of my favorite points in my entire career.
Me too. I talk about it all the time. Just the team and the product, and it was magic.
It was like dragging a Ferrari across your face. That's what I used to think about it. It was like it was just so well, the product was just so well designed and so well positioned. I can even remember the exact colors on the box. I can remember the orange color. I can remember the lozenge. I can remember the stripe. You know, I can actually
picture it
exactly, which is quite an achievement, actually, really. I can't say that about a lot of brands, frankly, that I kind of use every day.
I mean, they owned the orange.
They did.
And even like, I mean, the little innovation things, but the fact of, one of the tactics they did was like shrink wrapping the pallets with the orange in the back of the warehouse. So it was so easy for the retailer to get the products back out on shelf and it just popped even in that area. It was like every little thing was just so cleverly considered.
Yeah, very good. But must have had a really good marketer behind it.
Yes, I was one of many, but yes, it was a wonderful experience for sure.
So that was number two, epic.
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 It's hard to beat number two.
It is hard to beat number two, but maybe. How about number three?
Number three would be the move to sustainability.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I worked in deodorant, people would ask me what I did for my job. And I would tell them I make the world smell better because I really wanted to find like meaning in what I did. And I got the call from a recruiter telling me about Indigo Agriculture. And I was so excited by the opportunity to even just have a small part in helping fight climate change. At Indigo, we worked with farmers to help them farm more sustainably in a regenerative manner that would allow us to sequester more carbon in the soil. So that, as we all know, is very helpful with climate change. So starting in sustainability in that kind of role was great. And then fast forward 4 years from then, I got another call about Divert. And what's exciting about it is I was in the beginning of the food supply chain at Indigo, and now I'm at the end. So at Divert, we work with our partners to do three things. We either try to prevent food from going to waste. We provide through donations that we work with our partners like Feeding America, or if all fails, and the food is going to go unsold and can't go to a person to eat, we convert it into renewable energy and keep it out of landfill. So it's amazing to be able to see the full supply chain as I've been able to do. And when I think back to that woman that was thinking about deodorant and trying to make it mean something, it's really nice to have that piece of being able to make that small part.
It's interesting that whole biogas sector, because we've been having a few conversations in there as well, haven't
and
we?
Not at home after dinner, no.
And not at home after dinner. Although, actually, the big, what do you call them, the big tanks that all the magic happens in, apparently they're molded on a cow's stomach because it's the same process of digestion
Anaerobic digestion.
There you go. I knew you knew.
So not Phil's digestion.
No, well, actually, maybe. Not pleasant.
No, not pleasant. No.
Well, no, everything that's happening in their anaerobic digesters is what happens in your stomach. So if you think about it, we can't feed it with, you can't just eat sweets or you can't just eat too much of anything because, you know, it would mess up our stomachs. So it's the same in an anaerobic digestion facility because you really have to really monitor what you're putting in into it. But the good news of it is it's very efficient and scalable, and it allows us to keep all that food waste out of landfill.
Right. And turn it into energy that powers other things. Yeah. It's really like a nothing good goes to waste kind of proposition.
100%.
What's been the hardest part? How did you get through it?
The hardest part for me is probably setting boundaries.
Mm.
I hold myself to a higher standard. I really want to meet expectations or exceed expectations. And that kind of results in having less work-life balance than you might like. And I know that when you create boundaries, you're healthier, you're happier, you actually do better in your job. But it took me a really long time to realize that. And I was in a job that I loved. I got to travel the world, but I wasn't satisfying my own personal goals outside of work because I hadn't created that boundary that, you know, at certain points, time has to, you need to focus on those other things. And I was sitting there and I was realizing I was getting burnt out from all of that. Anyone who knows me will know that I'm not fully reformed. I try really hard to set those boundaries. It could be as simple as, you know, blocking some time on my calendar that I just do work during the workday rather than doing it at night. Right. But those things are making me healthier and happier just from that alone.
I was going to say, is it a Midwest thing? Because you're a bit like that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a bit of it. Like, we definitely have a strong work ethic on the whole in the Midwest. And because we don't want to inconvenience anyone, we tend to take a lot more on ourselves, I think. So some of that probably is a bread and the bone piece. Yes. But the other is this, and I don't think it's Midwest, I think it's individual, is I'll say a strong sense of accountability. Like Hillary and I, why we're friends is we reflect those values in each other. And I think that's more of an individual. Like you have some people that just, it's like you think it's your fault first before it's anyone else's or it's your job to solve before it's anyone else's. And thereby you kind of keep taking on rather than putting the accountability in its place. Mm. We hold ourselves to such a high bar and don't want to drop any balls in any of these facets of our lives that we kind of run ourselves out of juice.
Hmm.
I mean, I definitely struggle with exactly, I wouldn't even pretend to be reformed. I'm certainly not. I'm told to go to the meetings in terms of taking on too much and running myself too ragged and putting work kind of first in all aspects.
What is your personal belief that drives you from kind of, you know, shareholder capitalism more to stakeholder capitalism, where your frame of reference is changing purely from making money to kind of making more of a difference at a global scale? Is there a belief that has enabled you to kind of transition those two worlds, or even better, rather than transition, because it's not binary, is it? It's always an and. Is there a belief that enables you to unify these two worlds?
I believe wholeheartedly that everybody can make a difference in the world. And the small things you do can make big things. And if everyone tries to make a change, even if it's a small change, we'll get there. So that's my kind of unshakable belief, is that small things can make a difference and we all should try.
Amen, sister.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. When you understand that and you can apply that not only to business, but to your own life, you realize that the only way to change the way you think and the way the world works is to actually do something, not think about it or talk about it or pontificate about it or write white papers about it or whatever it might be. Just fucking do something. and it's the aggregation of all those little actions that actually build up, not just a physical change, but also change your mindset, reprogram the way you think and the way and your perspective on the world. And I just wish that was so much more prevalent around and understood.
If you think about small, your actions as one individual over the span of your lifetime, just even over the span of a month. And I think that's the problem. We need to be our own influencers. When we do that, there's a ripple effect with the people around us. They start to notice and think about it too. They're like, oh, she's really religious with that. Maybe there's a reason why. And then it becomes ingrained.
Yeah. It's making me think of Paloma, you and your little worms. you grow all your little worms, and every little worm makes a big difference in your compost. And
actually, it's amazing if you think about how much waste we go through at home and how much of it I don't have to put in the trash. It's great. It's amazing. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying, is like over a lifetime, you can actually do a lot with your life, one life.
Yeah. And maybe that's a great segue into food waste, actually.
Yes.
Talking about that.
Sorry, keep not talking about food waste.
Well, no, because I was just, what you were saying, Paloma, right? Just, I remember because we were chatting to the Composting Council a few months ago, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we were doing a bit of research and, you know, digging deep into the data.
Deep.
And Hilary, I'm sure you know this like the back of your hand, but it was a surprise to us that about a third of all food in the US is wasted, if not more, which apparently equates to somewhere like 25 million tons of food every year just goes to landfill, which is about $1,500 per the average household is just wasted on food that's just not eaten.
Well, think about what went into that food. You had the farmers who grew it, and they watered it, and then they transported it, and then somebody packaged it, and then transported it, and all those dollars. And it's at its highest and best use once it gets to the store, and then a third of it gets thrown away.
Right.
And that's why Divert really wants to make a difference. And we have these amazing retail partners who want to do it too. So together we can make a change, because, you know, whether it's, and as individuals, we can also make a change in terms of what we do.
And you're working with all the big guys, right? The Kroger's and the Targets and the Albertsons and all of the big grocers are all,
gives me faith,
are all kind of signed up, aren't they, to Divert, I believe.
They are. And we have a few that aren't yet, but hopefully we'll get them soon. But Kroger and Safeway and Albertsons and Ahold Delhaize are amazing partners for us. And they are in it as much as we are, because they want to make sure that they are preventing the waste, but or getting it to people in need, and then keeping it out of landfill. First and foremost, when I started working at Divert, I didn't realize how much food was going to waste. I don't think people do know. And for me, it became this opportunity to let people know all those facts that you just said and try to find a solution that's going to fix that problem and help us waste less and keep more products being sold or repurposed in a way that people in need can eat them, because there's so many people that are hungry and they don't need to be, because there's food there for them.
I don't think a huge amount of people necessarily know how much food waste contributes to climate change, in terms of just the sheer amount of greenhouse gas emissions that's emitted from landfill. And it's an ongoing challenge. It really is.
It is. But, you know, there are certain states that are really focused in on it and have regulation around what to do with the food waste, but others don't. And a lot of times people only take action when they're required to, but hopefully over time, people will realize how important this is and can do it without that little push of, oh, you're going to get fined.
Right. Yep.
So should we ask Gaia one question?
Sure.
We have to get Gaia in there.
Our AI.
Our AI, because we need to train her.
Yeah.
Right, to become better at food waste.
Do I get to ask her a question?
Or? You do. I was going to ask you, would you like to ask Gaia a question? Let's see what she comes back with.
Sure. How about one that speaks to what we just were talking about, which is, how can everyone help fight climate change?
Amazing.
You typing in, Paloma?
We are going to give Gaia a voice at some stage.
At some point.
We're arguing about what kind of accent she should have.
A nice Midwestern one from Ohio,
perhaps.
I'm kind of leaning Scottish, I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Scottish accent. It kind of feels like it means business.
We need some haggis.
Yeah.
Well, my husband has a really interesting accent that is halfway, because he was born in Portugal and then grew up in South Africa. So that's kind of a nice mix. People ask all the time, where are you from? Are you from Brooklyn? No, he does not sound like he's from Brooklyn.
That's a good one.
Gaia has responded.
Oh.
First of all, from Gaia, great question, right?
Oh, yay. Good to have the affirmation.
Very, very affirmative. Fighting climate change really is a team effort, and there's always ways everyone can pitch in. For individuals, simple steps like reducing energy use, cutting down on single-use plastics, opting for sustainable fashion, and supporting green businesses all add up. every time you choose an eco-friendly product or recycle properly, or compost properly, I'm just my tidbit, you're helping shift the market towards more responsible practices. For companies, the role is just as important. By adopting greener operations, sourcing sustainable materials, businesses can significantly lower their impact.
So interesting, she doesn't mention food waste in there.
No.
That hasn't come up as a thing. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Given that, you know, she's literally scraping the web in real time for all of these kind of data points and sources. Interesting that that connection isn't necessarily.
It's like plastic is the thing everybody thinks about when you think about climate change first or sustainability.
Or driving less, which is, food waste is way more of a contributor to climate change than the cars are.
That's interesting. So maybe that's a bit of a gap in just public consciousness and awareness, maybe, just based on the amount of data sources that are out there.
A job to be done.
A job to be done, indeed.
I have a lot of work to do. You've just given me my orders.
There you go.
It'll be done by 3, I'm sure.
All in a day's work, Heidi. Come on.
Exactly. Exactly. Use that window between 3 to 5. You got it.
Thank you.
If you got one bit of advice for someone that's in a sustainability or marketing role in a big company and they're finding themselves kind of, you know,
stuck or it's really overwhelmed or hard.
Or they're feeling overwhelmed or disillusioned by what they're doing, what would be your advice?
My advice would be trust your gut. Your gut is generally right and it's going to lead you to the right path. I know for a fact with my team, they're probably really sick of hearing me say, well, my gut says, but it usually leads me into the right direction. And I think when you're stuck, you have to go with what your heart is saying and what your gut is saying, all those things inside. And it will usually take you down the right path because especially if you've been doing this for a while, you have good ideas. You know what needs to get done. So your gut is going to lead you to the right path.
Let your gut guide you, which feels like that could be a divert thing with the whole gut.
Nice. I love that.
It could.
I agree with you completely. I always feel things in my gut first and then have to unpack why I'm feeling this way. And then I have to go and like post-rationalize.
Does that mean I don't have a gut? Because I operate the opposite way, don't I?
Yeah, you probably don't.
It takes a while.
Your gut's too busy digesting.
Hard work.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hilary. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining.
Thank you so much for having me.